Yeah, I'm ready.
So it's just a perfect bodyboarding way.
Didn't even jump off my board. I just tried to choke Jason Brown.
The windpipe is a big dream.
Hit the lip, you're going into the flats.
No, I know I could go bigger than that, and I know what I can do.
Hey, what's up? This is Manny Vargas, and we're going to open up volumes of stories of bodyboarders just like you. This is Boog Life.
Wow, what did I tell you? Out of control, but man, some epic, epic stories in there. All right, so we're going to get part two underway. This is where you're going to find out the truth about who found Chopes. And Chris Tenberg's story is pretty phenomenal. Get in there. Part two, Chris Tenberg. Here we go.
All right. What's up, everybody? Hey. Big Todd. Thank you guys for hanging in there. We have the webcam over there, so I'm hoping you guys can hear some of the audio. But don't worry. We got the GoPro recording, and then we got this on audio. And at the end of this, you guys are going to have access to the high def stuff. So this is just for the live. If you guys have any questions, drop them in and we'll get them answered before we finish up with the rest of the five on the fly and the Tahiti debacle. Is it Tahiti or
Chopu?
Chopu, whatever.
Chopu debacle.
We're gonna get to that.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, we're gonna get to that. Thanks for indulging me, by the way. I am a stoner.
All right. Can you say something?
Something.
Perfect.
Yep. Are we good?
Yep.
Sorry, good. I pulled that out.
It's okay.
That's what she said.
You beat me. All right. So.
So. We got two questions into the five on the fly.
Here we go. What?
Okay. You need a donut?
Yeah. Give me. Is there any more?
I was looking. There's like a giant box of them.
Good times, man. Such good reminiscing. Like.
Thank you.
I mean, really. Okay. I'm going to say this to everybody. What he's doing is really good. It's really valuable because to have an archive of this kind of stuff, you know, it's important. And especially from back in the day, like we got nothing.
Oh,
there's a cream filled one at the top,
but I'm going to take this old fashioned that I didn't eat earlier.
Nice.
Did you want it?
No, I'm solid. Anyway, I think this project's amazing and you guys are awesome for doing it. Thank you.
You know what? If I didn't throw the disclaimer yet, these guys fucking got me high as a kite. At the beginning, I could barely even see straight. It was crazy. What do you call it? The gorilla grip?
Gorilla glue. Gorilla grip. So I am religious now, but just a different religious type. Like my two religions now are music and cannabis. And I think that both music and cannabis.
What do they do for you? What do they do for you?
Both separately or taken together, I think embody the kind of sense of, you know what? There's something special out there in humanity and in the world that's magical that you can look at and go, wow, fuck yeah. I think both cannabis and music do that for me, allow me to see the world in a kind of like magical, spiritual way. And that's as far as I'll go in religion.
You know what? I had a concept last night. I was thinking about what we were going to talk about. And fucking, how's this idea? JG, listen to this one.
JG.
Whatever. It's the 50th anniversary this year. My mind started going. I'm like, how do we organize three tour stops, one on the East Coast, one in California, and one in Hawaii, where we fly, you know, a handful of people and do these fucking clinics and like do some fun shit, like a bodyboarding thing. Fuck, but
it's still the Gorilla Glue, right?
No. Shit. What was I going to say? But, but yeah, just have a sick autograph. Let's go surf session.
Yeah.
And do the 50.
Just expression sessions. Remember yeah. Those things.
That'd be dope. Expression sessions.
All right. We're going to be talking about that. Okay. Next. Worst wipeout.
Easy. Ooh. Okay. God, I like giving two.
And then you got a couple. You
can yeah, because
there's no rules in this one. Go for it.
I have an actual worst wipeout. When I was 17, I was at my home spot at PK's, and I went up for an air. And
what is the wave like? Like, what's on the – is there a reef, sand?
It's all reef. So PK's is a kind of series of – you might call it three peaks. There's an outside sort of left that we call Smokies. And then that only breaks when it's maybe 4 or 5 feet plus.
Oh, damn.
And then so Smokies can sometimes connect with the inside, which is PK's. And that's just kind of a left bowl over a fairly shallow reef, but nothing exposed. And then on the very inside, that white water then reforms to a small right-hander. So imagine the kind of practice you could get. Oh, yeah. You could go left.
Can they connect? Stuff.
Yeah. And so, reforms and then you could come on your right and see Bob would be filming the whole thing. He'd be like, yeah, go there and then go right, you know, and bam, 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 you can see how it's all strategic. So anyway, I'm coming down on the left and I go and I launch an air and I'm inverted. And dude, I'm thinking, can I hold it? Can I hold it? Can I hold it? And like a dumbass, I got caught backwards and I landed like this and my back folded.
Oh.
My headphones again. Sorry.
It's okay. Plug it in the hair. You got to turn it on real quick.
All right, sorry.
Take them off.
Sorry.
What were you bringing in your head?
I don't know. I'm stoned.
Gorilla monkey.
There we go.
Grease.
Anyway, I believe that the term is I hyper-extended my back, and it put me out.
You could have fucking died.
There's also another word for that. It's called scorpion.
Right, yeah,
or
exactly.
Or almost fucking death.
No, but yeah, it's a scorpion. Yeah.
Touch your heels, touch your head.
Pretty much. And I was out of the water for about 3 to 4 months just healing, and I still to this day have kind of chronic back pain. So that's definitely – I'm going to count that as, you know, wipe out. Even though it was but my worst.
Wait, how old were you?
17.
Whoa. Yeah. You're lucky you're fucking that flexible.
I know. I think so. Yeah, it was very early on.
Yeah.
Bob nursed me back to health too. Like, I mean, just kept me out of the water for a long time.
What kind of PT were you doing?
Nothing. Just laying.
Oh.
It was bad. Like, I had to just lay for a long time.
Did you have the crown?
No. I never broke anything.
Did you need the crown?
No, I didn't break anything, fortunately, but they said I severely bruised. It was all bruising and like very tender.
Like if Mike Tyson just went boom.
Probably. You know, I don't know. I have vague memories about that, but I was out for a while.
Were you on pills or anything? Pain pills?
Nah. Nah, Christian kind.
Oh, damn.
Take the pain.
The holy water. You had holy water.
But enough of that. My worst wipeout that I like. That is an actual wipeout. As I shit you not, one fucking winter when I was staying at Hank's house, at Brian Stevens'
you
house.
You stayed there?
Oh, a couple times.
Holy fuck.
Right. I used to love Hank. I think Hank liked me, but we got along pretty easy. Like, yeah. I would go and stay solo with him sometimes. But anyway, the fucking guy took me to Waimea Shore Break on a crazy day and made me do the whole like Waimea Shore Break thing. And he got a photo out of it. You know, I got tossed.
Were you ready for that?
I was expecting, you know, a shore break wipeout, you know, and, you know, we all know how to wipe out in those kind of situations for the most part. You know?
Yeah.
Growing up on beach breaks, you know, one of our things you learned early was how to pull into a humongous closeout and not get mangled, right? So I wasn't too worried about it, but I literally is one of the like the classic like hands down, full in the air, you know, feet, and I'm in the barrel just like, you know, it was one of those good ones. Yeah.
Fuck.
And it was probably a solid like 5 foot shore break. I was like.
Remember those photos make it from guys still doing the same thing?
They still do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and I always put like, the same quotation mark. At this point, I think I'd just go for a cannonball.
Dude, totally.
Just getting
what were you feeling? Like, you knew you got hurt. How did you feel about...
Oh, you mean that time at PK's when I was young? I was just kind of stunned. I remember just, like, getting on my board and just, like, fucking... You can ride the whitewater all the way in.
Oh.
And then Bob just helped me in and... The particular memories are not really there. But I remember I was out for a while, 3 months resting.
Okay.
And then just stretching and coming back.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Biggest wave, worst wipeout, favorite bodyboarder, yep. Or boarders.
Yeah.
Favorite bodyboarding movie.
Oh, wow. Will I be so fucking pompous if I say the two I edited myself, the Quiet Classic
you
movies?
You edited those?
Yeah, all by myself.
Wow. You know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Maybe I should.
I was Bob's pupil. So Bob had a fondness for me. I think, he liked all of us. But like I'm sure also the guys won't disagree that for some reason Bob had a kind of fondness for me. Like I think he tapped into my creative side. Like
you know what I think this is? It's the kawaii version of Star Wars.
Yeah. What is that?
So Bob's Yoda.
Yeah, Bob's Yoda.
Oh yeah. So early on, before the
he's Luke Skywalker right now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's Luke Skywalker.
Like before we even moved in, and Bob had come up with the name Kawaii Classic.
So
that's us. He wanted to be called Kawaii Classic. I was in high school, but I came up with the logo in art class.
You're the one who did the fish and everything.
Yeah. Oh. So I brought it to him. He was like, yep. And I was just goofing around, because it was our team name. I was like, well, fucking Kawaii Classic, man. And then we were Christian, so I was like, rah, rah. But I also like early on, he taught me, like hand taught me how to edit the videos. And first it was like, I want you to edit the video so that you can make your own personal reel and watch.
You're doing 8 millimeter Sony hand cams,
exactly.
Right?
So yeah. Because now in this day and age, you bring digital on your computer, you're already freaking editing on a freaking, multi-line.
It was super tedious. I'll say that.
What was that like? Because there's a couple tech guys, a tech crew that are going to watch this. And they're like, what was that editing like back then?
It was super tedious, but the thing was, you got to remember, I was young and moldable, and the only other guy who at the time was into the editing part was Harry, who was older than I, so maybe he had already kind of picked up some of the skills. And it's not that Kyle and Jason and Burkhardt and Marocco weren't into it, it's just that, Bob kind of focused on me primarily, and Harry sort of later on of like showing us how to take the raw footage from the day. It was very important to take the raw footage from the day. And after each group viewing, that was the thing. We'd come back and we'd group view and watch and critique. Like he would critique us. And then it was very important to, from that raw footage, take selected rides and put them onto each guy's master tape. And I was in charge of that. And then that's how what he taught me to do was to take that and just not even clean it. It's just fucking roughs like, oh, yeah, okay, here's a wave of Kyle. Good one. Put it on your – Kyle, it's your turn. Let's take all your waves. Okay, Jason, all your waves. And then when it was time to do the movie, I just had the – at the time, I just had the most editing skills. And so I was just the guy.
I remember a little bit of that.
Yeah, it was so cab. Bro, was that cab. The interviews in the all-Christian audio tracks – bra. Golden.
Was it difficult for you to put that together?
I loved it. I had a good time.
Okay.
I mean, it took a lot of time, but at the time, all I had to do was pay $200 rent. And the $200 rent got me all the food I could eat, free videography,
a cook,
like, and all I had to do was train, surf, do the video stuff, and play ping pong once in a while, which is Bob's other psychological training method, which was heavy. The heaviest competition in the house was on the ping pong table.
Why?
Boom.
Why?
He considered it to be the mental game. Ping pong.
It has it all.
Really, does it? So it was fierce, Like, and Bob would get sour when he lost. Like, because it was his chance to play with us.
Nobody used your paddle. Everyone had their own paddle.
Oh, fuck that. Bob had his own paddle in a case, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it was fierce, right? It was good. And we got dirty, bro. Like, it was on. And we started trading, like, chores for it and stuff. And, like, it was mean.
All right. Who was the king of the house?
For a long time, it was just kind of pretty even. Like, we were all good.
Hey, wait, who was you're rolling your eyes.
Bro, it's hard to say because Kyle and Harry would like dive in the fucking garage just like hit something. I would never dive, but I had a pretty good fucking spin serve that was difficult to, you know, so we all had different little things. And that's what Bob liked, is that you could develop your own little techniques and whatnot. I don't know. Bob did get sour when he got beat. Also, we could never surf where Bob surfed. That was kind of a funny thing.
What?
Yeah, Bob had his own surfing spots, and we were tongue-in-cheek, kind of serious, like, we don't go out where he goes out.
Wow. Yeah. So what was he riding? What was he riding?
He's a longboarder.
So
he never free surfed with Bob ever?
Did he ever?
Once in a while.
Did he ever say, don't come?
No. And as a matter of fact, we obviously surfed with him, but it was more like, if Bob was out and he saw us paddle out, he's all, looks like somebody wants to be in the hot seat tonight, huh? You know, like, it was real, like, coming out to my lineup, huh? Well, we'll see if you get any waves, boy. Wow. You know, like, that kind of stuff. Wow. It was good fun.
Yeah.
You know.
But you guys knew that.
We knew that. Yeah.
So he still had lines in the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, well, his spots were wild high.
And you never paddled behind him. You never called him off waves. You never. Oh.
No. He took it serious.
Yeah.
He's Okinawan and old school.
Tradition.
Yep. Yeah, his dad, we used to stay on Oahu at Bob's dad's place in downtown Kaimuki. And his dad was real traditional. Fucking amazing that kind old man used to allow Bob to bring 18 to 21-year-old guys over to the house to just fucking live in his tiny Japanese house, surf, eat. At a time, not the first year or two, but like after things settled down a little bit, the only girl that was allowed over, you're going to love this too. I'm going to plug her up too. The only girl that was allowed over was Shawnee.
I was on the same
show. Yeah. But Shawnee could bring a friend because Bob trusted Shawnee, you know. And so Shawnee would bring over, you know, some of the Brazilian girls in the later days, Stephanie Peterson and them, but it was all very like up on board. Like there was no fooling around. Even Shawnee knew that.
Are you sure?
I'm saying in Bob's presence. Okay. You know that. I mean,
of course.
No, I can't say this. Can I say?
Yeah, like, but of course.
Back in the day, Jason and Shawnee had a thing for a while. You know, so it was pretty tight knit, you know. Yeah. And Shawnee in the old days was just a fucking ambassador for women's bodyboarding
100%.
In the world, but especially for Hawaii. She was like our golden girl, you know.
Yeah.
So everyone got along with Shawnee, so she was great. Bob allowed her to come over. That was nice.
That's freaking epic.
I mean, we also had, in all fairness, because she may listen to this, we had a friend, a hairdresser from Kauai named Ronnie, who would always come around too. So Ronnie and Shawnee. Huh?
But, was Ronnie a bodyboarder?
Ronnie was a bodyboarder too. Not professionally, just, you know, pastime kind.
So everybody went out bodyboarding.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but we all knew that in our day, Shawnee was the one.
Yeah.
She was like...
There was Shawnee.
Bodyboarder girl for sure.
Yeah.
Shawnee was the icon in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, oh God.
Do you know how nuts it was? Like, I swear to God, dude. For many years, from 17 to 20, I was celibate. And those were all during some very, you know. So it was a very hormonal years, you know, and that was cavorting with all that crew right there,
yeah.
You know, totally celibate.
So how many times did you masturbate per day?
All the time.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the Chopo debacle has some fun masturbatory stories. So we're going to, it involves Mike and Ben too.
Okay. That's coming up. That's coming up.
Yeah.
Last and final question of, five on the fly. If I were to call you up tomorrow and say, hey, I just won the lottery, pick five guys, a videographer and a photographer, and tell me where you guys want to go, what would you say?
Shit, only five, you fucking guy. That's so hard because...
And the videographer and the photographer.
Because anyone who really knows me, and this is genuinely serious... Well, how much money do I get?
It's unlimited. He won the lottery.
So oh, I won the lottery.
I won the lottery. Yep. I'm paying for this trip to happen.
Right.
So
okay, you so won the lottery. Shit. Okay, I was gonna say I would give the lottery money back to just bring all my friends rather than go with five. Right, that's so, the kind of
so
guy.
So the last question in Five on the Fly.
Okay.
You win the lottery.
Okay. I win the lottery.
And you get to pick how many friends, how many, what location, mm-hmm. a videographer and a photographer. What would you say?
I might disappoint a lot of people in the choice of spot, but one has to consider my age right now and the age of my friends. And I'm taking people to the fucking surf ranch.
Ooh.
So it's a controversial pick, but if I had my choice, I'd go to Kelly Slater's Wave Ranch.
First time I heard it.
Without any hesitation whatsoever. And I'd bring as many people as I could with that fucking lottery. Like, I literally would maybe even make it like, if you were in the old screw, if you're in the old crew and I fucking know you, you know, or whatever, come to the door, fuck, you're in, you know, that's it, whatever. A lottery, I could at least have the place for maybe a week or so, right, and accommodate, yeah, that.
Maybe get part ownership.
Man. Would you build one of those on Kauai?
Nah. I mean, well, I mean, it's okay. So here's what I like about the wave pool and Kelly Slater's in particular. I like the elegance of it. I know that what it strips from the natural world and from a lot of the sport is the spontaneity of the ocean. And that's a fair fucking argument right there, bro. It's a fair fucking argument. I think some of the best moves, some of the best barrels, some of the best things in surfing and bodyboarding have all come from the spontaneity and unpredictability of the ocean. But I just love the aesthetic of the wave and the ease with which I could get barreled. And for me, again, I don't care about doing no fucking ramp flip this or that, partly because I can't. It's all jazz music to me. But if you're telling me I could draw some really clean lines, sit in a tube, drop knee that open face, boy, come on. You know you want to do that. I would take that right now. Would I build it on Kauai? I don't know if the local community was stoked on it, because I'm a big local advocate. If the local community had interest and opportunity, yeah, I'd be down for that. Hell yeah.
Especially if you put all the proceeds back into the community.
Totally. Why not? Yeah.
So I don't want to turn what happened with the ferry? Do you remember the ferry back in the day?
The ferry was a touchy subject, yeah, for locals, because on the one hand, it would be extremely convenient. For instance, instead of me flying to Oahu and renting a car, mm-hmm. I could literally take my car on and be over there in 2 hours, mm-hmm. spend a day, fucking catch the ferry back. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, that very convenience means that other people in their cars could come and clog up our already crowded scenario.
Whoa.
And literally, like,
full on traffic.
A lot of our island still to this day is single lane.
Right. It just goes like,
oh, yeah, and we have, I mean, we've got some traffic problems. I mean, Jess knows too. Like, it's getting ridiculous.
Like going through
Kapaa and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
So that's basically the balance is like, and I guess it won out on the local side, like saying, nah, it'd be too much of a scene.
So what about the
did I paddle out? No, I wasn't on island for that.
But I've heard that's what happened.
It's kind of a radical spot. They did.
The ferry came and they wouldn't let it come in, and they turned the ferry around and made it go back to water.
Yeah. About that, like the ecological or the environmental side of things? Like, would it have damaged anything?
Probably. Not really, because the harbor that they come in on is a harbor that regular barges and ferries come in on. I mean, it's we're in Long Beach. No Willy Willy is the Long Beach of Kauai. Like, it's the major port. If anything's getting shipped in there, it's coming through Willy. So,
okay.
Not really in terms of that.
Okay.
But it definitely would have been more cars and people on the island, 100%, because it's a convenience issue for sure.
It's so hardened over there still. You know, I just think the footprint and all those people walking all over that all the time.
Yeah.
Eventually change that look a little bit. I have to.
Yeah. All right, so epic there. We're ready for the Chobes debacle. But first, let's
I don't want to make too much of a big deal about it, but
we've been waiting 14 hours for this.
Okay, let's set this up a little bit more then. Yeah, so we were talking about the fact that Ben Severson and I guess may go on some trip together, and I was saying, oh, you know what? That reminds me, because the first time I ever went on a actual surf trip out of the country, apart from the Kauai Classic team, I went with Mike and Ben a couple of the top PSAA surfers. Again, the year was probably 90-91-ish, and it was for like an expression session benefit thing. And here's the deal. So we're there for about a week, and during one of the off days for myself and Mike, Ben was busy doing sponsorship stuff. And you got to remember, so I'm like either 19 or 20. And how old is Mike Stewart, by the way?
I think 55.
So he's about 6 years older than me now. Okay, and we were fresh on the scene, and you have to understand that the intimidation factor was just on. First away, I'm away from my support group, by the way, too.
Oh, damn.
And you know how much mental game Mike has, right? Very kind. He was cordial. I'm not saying he was mean to me, but the mental game was, you could cut it with a fucking butter knife, dude. I knew it, too.
You were the sacrificial lamb.
I was. And he knew it, too. Like, he was pressing it. And Ben was busy this day. He was doing sponsorship stuff for BZ. So Mike tells me, he's all, bro, you know what we should do? Let's go look for some surf, you know? And so here's what we're going to do. Let's rent a car and rent a Zodiac. And we're going to fucking tie the Zodiac on the top of the car, and we'll go look for waves. I'm like, okay. You know, like, like pretty much hero and now competitor is telling me this is what we're going to do. I'm like, sure, dude. Okay, sure, yeah. Okay, man. You're leading the way. I have video of all this, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Because Bob loaned me one of his brand new.
Who has that footage?
I do on hard drive, and I'll dig it up.
Oh, like, please.
I can get it to you. And it's of us tying the Zodiac onto the car. Boom, we take off. I'm going to cut a little bit short, right? The whole, like, the conversations, everything was, like, surreal to me, man, because I'm cruising with Stewart by myself. And he's like, he's friendly, but he's vibing me. It's like heavy. So for real, and this part's interesting, like for real, not knowing exactly where we're going. And this is important to the story. I'll explain why I call it the debacle. Not knowing where we're going, we end up at the end of the road. Okay. Take out the boat. He's like, let's get in the boat and just head out around the fucking point. I'm like, okay.
So you didn't know he was there. He's been there before.
Here's the debacle. He hasn't. And I'm saying it. I'll get to that in a second.
I see where this is going now.
You see where this is going?
Yeah.
This was the first time he was at the end of the road. I'm going to say it. I'm saying it. So we get there. Not knowing where we were going, we get to the end of the road. He's like, what do you think? Maybe just jump in here and go around the point, look for some waves. I'm like, again, sure, dude, you know. Okay. Now, you guys have been there, so you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we launched the boat. Now, mind you, it's me and Mike Stewart in a fucking Zodiac by ourselves, and we start heading out. First is we head way out, okay, because he wanted to go around, and he had mentioned to me hearing about some place called High Pass or some Big Pass or some pass or some bullshit like this. I just definitely remember Pass. And so we're heading out. We're fucking trucking along. We must have been like 45 minutes, just like around the coast, kind of looking, spotting. You know, we were like 45 minutes in. Like, we stop, anchor, And the stop and anchor, I remember we're in open ocean,
God.
Fucking ocean, right? The stop and anchors were all about this. I'm staying in the boat. Toss the anchor over. I'll try to wait. I'm going to check this out. Which I give him fucking credit. That guy's an animal, dude. Like, I was so intimidated. He's like, he's jumping into the water. We're out in the blue water, out at least 100 yards from whatever thing he wants to check out at the time, right? So he's like, hold on. Yeah. I'm like, dude, totally. Okay. Goes, comes back. He's all, you know, sometimes it'd be like 15, 20 minutes because you catch a few waves. He's like, ah, it's good. Let's keep looking. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. This goes on for like 3 hours.
Did you ever get in the water?
Not yet. So wait.
No, he's not gotten in the water yet.
Fuck that, dude. Fuck that.
Oh my God.
Dude, remember, I'm like 19 or 20, away from my crew. I'm not a pussy, but I'm in open water, dude. Okay, with Mike Stewart, right? And so this goes on for like 3 hours, right? And I'm like, I promise you, I'm like, oh fuck, can we just go back already? Like, finally, it's like 5 o'clock.
All day.
Well, remember, we had to drive. Like, he woke up in the morning. He's like, you know what we should do today? Like, at like 7, not like planned at the night before. You know, rah, rah, rah. So, this after an all day thing, it's like 5 o'clock. And he's like, all right, let's fucking go back. So, yeah. So, decides, you know, I guess in hindsight now, to cut a little closer as we come back in. Okay, because we blew past it on the way by. We went too far out and around. And I distinctly remember I was doing the fucking rudder. I was trying to pound it fucking. He's like, yeah, go closer. We're cutting it. He's like, oh, wait. Try wait. I'm like, what? Jesus Christ. You know, he talks pigeon sometimes too, that guy. He's like, try wait, whoa. He's like, throw the anchor. I'm like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me, dude? So I throw the anchor and he's like, okay, wait. Boom, jumps in. Same thing. And this is from the back, right? So I now know what he said. He saw some spit or something, whatever. So goes over there. And all I can describe to you is like, for the next 30 minutes, all I hear is like, about every 3 to 5 minutes, I hear like crazy screaming and yelling. Like, what? Oh my God. And then there's nothing for a little while, which he's like, he caught a wave and he's getting back in position. And he's like, Denberg! And finally I see him going, Denberg, yelling at me, screaming, Denberg, get in here. So I'm like, oh my God, Jesus Christ. I'm looking around me, like, holy fucking shit. No. I'm thinking in my mind, what possible thing could be this good for it? So I jump in the water, and when I jump in the water, I'm like, fuck! Sprinting. Not because I'm excited. Like, fuck this water, dude. Like, I'm out of this. Fuck this shit, dude. Get in there. As I come into the lineup, I see that fucking guy, like, pulling in so deep to, like, a solid 5-foot truck. And it was perfect. I remember 5 p.m. glass off. It wasn't like offshore. It wasn't onshore. It was just sheet glass. And it was solid 5 feet. It wasn't huge. It was just fucking perfect. It wasn't even too low tide. It was just fucking perfect. And I saw that guy taking off so deep. I was just stunned. Okay. Here's how you guys know the story is true. Well, I got proof of the story, but here's how the story is real.
Make sure to tell us about your first wave.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to bullshit you guys, dude. I shoulder hopped the whole session. It was a brand new wave. Just me and Mike fucking out there. It's like cranking on the sets. This guy is like charging. And I caught a couple good ones. I got maybe one barrel. I was like, whoa, you know. But I didn't dive in. I didn't dive in head first. Okay, let's just say that.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. I wasn't there mentally. And the wave size didn't bother me. Just the whole experience was way too fucking surreal and heavy. I was like, whoa. So here, so like 35, 40 minutes into this, Mike drops in on a set, right? I'm like, yeah. At this point, we're all just fucking stoked. Pops up, loses his board.
He's like us. He didn't leash up because he was so nice.
Oh, this is pre-gyro bra. Right. No, he didn't even have gyro back in this time. Okay, check this out. Without even skipping a beat, this guy looks over and says, Tamer, give me your board. Now I'm treading water. Like, I'm fucking treading water in the lineup. And this guy, I'll give Mike credit, bro. He really did one on me mentally. Blew my mind. Grabs my board. Foof, straight in. Fucking right up on the rocks. In one swoop, I'm watching to make sure that I don't get caught on the inside.
Oh,
and I'm watching what he's doing. I'm just doing this fucking weird wobble, hoping to God some shark doesn't bite me or some shit. Dude, and I watch that guy fucking takes off my leash, straps it on his foot, jumps on his board, and powered straight out. And was back to me in like 10 minutes. Unbelievable. I was blown away. We surfed for like another 30 minutes, and he was like, yeah, we got to go. So we go in. Okay. Get back.
So you were out there like prime freaking shark feeding.
I don't know. We were out total maybe an hour and 25 minutes, hour and a half together.
So for those that don't understand, where is the debacle?
It's coming. Do I have time still?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You got 30 hours.
This guy. So the debacle is coming because it's a good story. So we get back in and we blaze home crap and tell Ben. We tell Ben. Actually, correction. Mike tells Ben with a lot of enthusiasm and all kinds of like, you won't even believe. Ben's like kind of wondering if Mike's like jerking him off a little bit or if he's really true. And I'm in there just going, yeah, pretty much. You know, yeah. Still like, what the fuck just happened? So the plan is, yeah, we go back tomorrow. Here's the hitch though. The fucking Zodiac was not available. So these guys decide. We dawn patrol it out there.
Paddle.
They look at the waves. You got binoculars. They're looking at it. Short story is, I puss out. They paddle out. Those two fucking guys paddle out to Chopu and surf it for the first time together and Mike's second time.
It could have been your second time.
Nah, dude. Let me just tell you right now.
So it was bigger than the day before.
Same size. It's just it was too intimidating for me. And you got to
explain. Let's explain.
So here's the thing. I think Mike saw in that session that we had, he saw Chopu for what it is. I didn't. I think looking back now, I saw a fucking cool left-hander. And I was thinking, man, but I got these back home. You know, yeah, that's pretty cool. I think Mike saw a new wave. I think Mike saw, because he was experienced, I think Mike saw a wave that would eventually be a mainstay on even the pro surfing tour. I think he saw Chopu in a way that I didn't. So for that second session, he was like, I'm 100% going back out and exploring this spot, and I'm taking Ben with me. And I was at like, dude, I'm not fucking paddling out just to surf a decent left. Catch my drift. Yeah. And I sat in the car.
But here, I'm going to lay it out just so people have an idea.
Yeah.
At the end of the road, there's a river mouth. The river mouth goes into like a triangular deep water channel before it reaches the next reef.
How far out is it actually?
It's far. It's like freaking, I think I timed it like almost just over a quarter mile.
Wow. Heavy.
But quarter mile. So you cross over that. It's got to be a half mile. Shit.
Because there's the barrier part and then there's the.
Yeah, I'll look it up. But you got to go. Okay. River mouth water. You got to go over the channel. You got to go over that channel and then paddle along the freaking reef.
Yeah.
All of it freaking sharky.
Right. And I'll just chalk it up to as simple as this. It didn't seem worth it to me. And I literally sat in the car. And it was about 3.5-4 hours. I know this because I jerked off like 3 or 4 times, like every hour. I was just bored by myself.
This is when you were celibate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just cruising in the car and I couldn't really see what was going on. You know, I just knew they were out there. And yeah, same thing that came back. Mike said, yeah, it's just like yesterday, Rob, just like yesterday. So I knew it was good. It's just at the time I was like, fuck that, bro. Anyway, so here's the debacle. Okay. Here's the debacle, sir. All right. I don't give a shit about a personal stake in it for me. But as a philosopher, I do have an interest in truth. Okay. And there's, I think, an interesting narrative that has been developed about the discovery of Chopu that I want to test. Okay. For one thing, both Mike and Ben have independently written and been interviewed about Chopu. I know because I followed the story because I'm involved. And I've kept track of it. And then they've also been, let's just say, interviewed collectively for like bigger publications or interviews about the discovery of Chopu. So if you were to Google Chopu right now or read in the Surf line or whatever the bigger publications, what you'll see is, you know, originally pioneered by, you know, pioneering bodyboarders Mike Stewart and Ben Severson, you know, in, you know, 1986. The year's important. I'll tell you why, too, I think. But both of them sign on to this 1986 thing, all right, in their independent interviews and in the ones that are used for, like, the Wikipedia article and stuff. Okay, that's impossible, okay? For one thing, I was a fucking freshman in high school. Number two, Ben wasn't even signed by BZ. You know, there's all kinds of reasons. But I believe it's possibly because they wanted to establish and cement that before we were there in 91 or 90, that they were the first. In other words, yeah, you know, maybe there were some local surfers or whatever, but they wanted to cement the idea that now we kind of formally introduced the rest of the world to this spot. There may have been local guys here, but I don't know. Maybe they wanted to push the story back, but they were definitely not there in 86. Here's another counter. Suppose Mike says something like, nah, I was there before. I surfed this place called High Pass and whatnot. You know, I surfed Chopu then. I'm like, oh, yeah? Well, why didn't we just go to fucking Chopu? You know? Why the whole crazy search for everything else? Why didn't Ben know anything about it? No. We discovered Chopu that day by accident. So here's my gripe, though. I don't hold anything against it, but in all the major publications, my name is omitted. And my theory behind that, it's just a loose theory, is that it's possibly that last lingering old school dynasty wanting to keep the legacy of discovering Chopu with the pioneers, Mike and Ben, rather than toss it to one of the new school guys as well. I surfed it before Ben, Garen's. I know that. And I don't really have a personal stake in about it. But if you read Ben's interview, he attests to all this. If you read Mike's interview, he says I was there. You know, but they both say 1986, and this puzzles me as to why. And that's the debacle: is that it's not 1986, guys. If you think I'm lying, just ask Pat O'Connell or Rob Machado or Ted Robinson, because they were all on island the same time. And that was literally, to my recollection, and I think the official record of when Chopu was discovered by the Western bodyboarding world, was not 1986, as Wikipedia suggests by Mike and Ben, but was at the earliest during that trip together for the Tahitian Surfing Federation in either 90 or 91. And I'll go to I'll challenge. Let me see Mike come here and sit right in front of me and tell me he don't remember intimidating me like that. I mean, it was a good story. I think it was one of my most memorable stories. But it always puzzled me about the narrative. Like, why? Like, it's factually incorrect. I don't understand why.
86, he'd be riding for Accelerate and Turbo still.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, it's interesting.
So, I mean, what are you doing about it?
Nothing. I don't give a shit. It's just I was thinking about stuff to talk about today. And the thing was, like, it always kind of puzzled me as to why the record's wrong. Like, it's interesting that something like that would be just so off.
Well, here's the beauty of it is the person who knows the history hasn't said anything about it yet.
Well, I mean, Mike and Ben know the history. I mean, they were there.
So were you.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. But it's just,
well, that's, I think that's what
date.
We're doing now.
Okay, cool. And so yeah, Mike and Ben
over there,
Mike and Ben, especially Mike and actually Ben too. But Mike, I really give you props because that left one of the most indelible marks on my young waterman sort of mind. I was very impressed. But bro, we were definitely not there in 86. And you weren't there earlier. You may have been at High Pass, but you'll have to argue convincingly to me that you had discovered and surfed Chopu in 86. Yeah, you're going to have to provide some evidence because I just want to know why we were kind of aimlessly cruising around for so long.
So what about the Tahitian locals? Were they searching?
You know, the only Tahitian local that I knew about that eventually surfed a lot at that spot, and these are the early days. Like, my memory is very sketchy, but do you remember that guy Matt that died in Tahiti?
Walbro.
Yeah. I kind of connected with Matt for a while because he married – or he was together with some girl from Kauai, strangely enough, in his early life. And he was a charger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know that he had surfed there, but no, pretty much by accident, like – let's strap everybody down to a fucking lie detector test here. The thing was, it was by accident in or around 90 or 91. I'm going on record with that.
It's on record. JG, you guys get that?
Dude, yeah. I mean, that's part of our dreams down at Cabo is to just take a boat and haul ass up the coast and do what you're talking about. Just paddle in on crap and see what we find. Yeah,
and he did that. He was very adventurous. I mean, it really gave me like a real waterman sense. Like, that guy's radical.
This is what we're doing, and we're doing it today.
Now you tell me about your hiking trip with Mike.
Oh, you went on a hiking trip with Mike?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he stepped it up too.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Now I can see your face.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Oh yeah, he's hiking. It was in Peru, right?
There we go.
Yeah. Atacama Desert or something.
And it was probably just as intimidating as anything.
Oh, there we go. Now I can see your face.
Ah, sorry, dude.
All right, quick, the Stewart hiking trip. We get dropped off, me and Alan Munoz from Chile. Mm-hmm. We're like, what are we going to do today? Oh, I don't know. Mike says we can hike. I'm like, fuck, never turned that down. So, you see his feet before? They're fucking giant duck feet,
like
dude. They're huge.
I've not focused on Mike's feet before.
Yeah, both of the feet look like, I'm serious. Like,
they're fins in and of themselves.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah,
it's nice.
So we figured out those are going to work to his advantage because where we got dropped, it was just fucking grass with thorns about that high. I had my trail running shoes. Alan had his tennis shoes and then Mike had slippers. He takes his slippers off, jumps in, but he figured out how to step on the grass and fold it down and then do that with each step.
Very methodical.
So he freaking made it no problem. Me and freaking Alan are squeezing by, freaking getting our
shit. Very Mike-like, dude.
Yeah, we're like, whoa, damn. We didn't start doing that until the end. But
he took his shoes off though. Eventually, didn't he take off his shoes?
So he did the whole hike barefoot.
Right on.
He did, and I called him out. I'm like, where's your shoes? He's like, I can feel the earth with my feet. And I'm like, holy shit.
I like that.
So guess what? Me and Alan did.
Barefoot him.
Yep.
Nice. There you go.
But that was sick. That was
how'd that go for you?
It was insane. I can grab a rock, you know, yeah. Like you freaking step on a rock, your fingers go around it. But it's that was something I learned from him.
Nice.
So, what are you gonna do about it?
The Chopu thing?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I did it. I just wanted to talk about it on Pitted because I think this is a great forum for reminiscing and telling old stories. And yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't care. I mean, I just think it's interesting, you know, and funny, but
yeah, you know,
I still respect, like I said, the biggest takeaway is that I fucking, my respect for that guy just was cemented.
Yeah. On that.
Fucking cemented.
Did you hesitate for at least a second when he said, give me your board?
Of course, dude. But what am I going to do, dude? He told me, give me your board. It wasn't like, can I use it? He said, give me your board. I was like, okay, here you go. Yeah, that's classic.
Give me your board. My board's in trouble.
Right? It's good. It's a good force. I think secretly Bob really admired Mike. Very little interaction between Mike and Bob. I think because both of them were kind of mental warriors and like neither wanted to sort of give any ground. But I knew that Bob really respected Mike. Yeah.
I think I mean, if there's a story to be told where you got Mike and Ben, you know, the champions all the time. Mm-hmm. And then here comes fucking Yoda with all the Jedi Masters.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And freaking ready to pounce. It was freaking awesome.
Remember that time then when Brown won and beat Mike and it was them two at the top. And I think it was at, wasn't it?
Trestles,
I think. Trestles, yeah. And you see his reaction right when he wins. And Mike turns to Jason for the, yeah, brother, you won. And Jason just, oh, all right, bro. Like he was just, yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
no, but that was pretty epic.
It was good times. That time in our life was really good, man. I have very fond memories of that time. I mean, looking back, but you know, it's great to see you guys where you're at, still with the sport.
Are you kidding me? Look what I get to do.
I know, and like I said, I'm very happy to report that I'm back in the water these days. I bodyboard when it's too big to surf. And I enjoy horsing around with the, you know, all my pals back home. And I've recently gotten involved with, Chris Burkhart and Jeff Hubbard's, nonprofit organization, Kaikea, which is basically about, mentoring, the youth and teaching them sort of respect for the ocean through the instrument of bodyboarding. Same old thing.
Epic.
You know, it's trippy how at this stage in your life, you're like, yeah, you know what? It's time to uncle up and give back, because that's what really got me turned onto it. So those guys are doing a great job. Kaikea.org. I'm doing helping out with that, and I'm stoked, man. And I'm so glad to see that you guys are pushing on too.
No, I'm enjoying it. So thank you, brother, for letting us hang out.
Dude, Jess, my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. When are you guys coming back to Kauai then? Let's cement that in.
When do you get back?
We're heading back in March.
March 2nd.
Nice. Come on down. I'll give you Curtis Payne's special room.
You don't know Manny will actually take that. He's all good with
that. Oh, yeah. So
I'll bring my tent to put in the garage and I'll bring my own.
You better bring your spare liver. If you come to Kauai, is what I'm saying, because
your spare liver,
dude, yeah. Because there's going to be a lot of drinking. We'll have some good old times with JB and Maligs.
Okay. Are they IP drinkers or what kind of drinkers are they?
Like I'm not going to speak for them really, because I'm more of a smoker than a drinker. I mean, I'll drink. The last time I didn't like myself from drinking was with them.
Have you learned anything yet?
I learned that it hurts older or more when you get older, so I do that less. But I'm pretty much the designated smoker in the group. Kyle smokes his CBD, but I don't count that. Not heavily, but they all enjoy their libations in the form of liquid.
Yeah.
Their liquor libations.
Shit. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll stop.
Come on down with your extra liver, boy.
All right. Thank you guys for watching. Big Todd and everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Hold on. There's one question.
Yeah. Questions right on.
Two
questions. Bring them on.
Oh, no. We answered that first one.
yeah. What is it?
So this is I almost let it go without the question from JG. JG, just ask him. It's in the comments. He could have just told me. Okay, JG, what is it?
What is the greatest gift that bodyboarding has brought to your life?
Wait, repeat it again.
The greatest gift that bodyboarding has brought to my life. Okay, I could be sugar gay, and I mean gay in the most fun way. Like just I'm giving like a. Kind of a cliche answer, but cliches they say are true because there's some truth to those things. I think that the greatest gift that bodyboarding did for me was cemented a connection with the ocean with me. Because, you know, I surf more than I do now. But that's mostly because my body's old and I can't take it. but the years of training and learning the water, the way it moves, the wind, where to be, even more importantly, where not to be. doing it so much with bodyboarding, I feel, made me a waterman. It's like, I think that some people become watermen, you know, in a loose term, where you're just fucking just, you enjoy doing a lot of things involved with the ocean, surfing, diving, fishing, whatever, sailing, all that stuff, foiling for my legs. and I think that the way I got into, it's okay, it's probably mine. The way I got into,
wait, whose is it?
We'll stop.
Damn it, it's mine. It's the one you were holding, I think.
No, it's under the table.
We'll pause it. Oh, there we go. We're good. At any rate, it stopped. Okay. I'll backtrack a little so you can get the smooth edit. How's that?
That's all. Okay, so go ahead.
I really think that the greatest gift that bodyboarding brought to my life was it cemented my connection with the ocean. Because I very much enjoy diving. I mean, you know, Burkhart, Jason, and I have been diving for years, and you know, spearfishing. I would say that's definitely my ocean pastime besides surfing and bodyboarding is diving, and other various activities, OP picking, you know, blah, 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 like the whole gambit. But this bodyboarding really sort of cemented my connection and love for the ocean. And yeah, I'm forever grateful for that. It got me in the water and kept me in the water all these years.
Awesome.
Yes, that's a good one.
JG, we're adding that in the questions. Okay. We're going to end with that.
Right.
We're gonna call it.
And I've noticed that most of the answers to that question are pretty congruent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds cliche to say, but it's the truth. Like, you know, I've always been connected to the water, but it's that the time in the water just gave you the knowledge and the love. You know, what are you gonna do?
And when you fall back in, like you say, how it made you feel rebaptized or reborn.
Yeah.
You came back into it.
Yeah.
It's almost like the energy that fills your body.
For real, like working, earning a buck, but like when I started that surf lessons job, I'll wrap it up here, but like, literally blew my mind because, dude, I had taught surf lessons before, but my surf lessons before were like, yeah. But like now I was being paid and expected to get people like to ride waves and shit. And like, it came back real quick. It came back natural. It came back funny. Like one of my favorite stories was like the lead instructor. I just come on and the lead instructor was this kind-hearted, healthy guy from Santa Monica, Venice. You know, and I was a new guy in hire, and he had a party of four, and I had a party of four, and it was fucking pounding. Like, the shore break was big. And
what beach?
Just Santa Monica Pier, like right there, right in front of Shutter's Hotel. And basically, it came down to, it was a really funny moment where my guests that I were with were like, hey, how come we're not paddling out right now? Those guys are paddling out. And like, it's not the right time. We just have to wait, you know? And like from that moment, like I knew that this guy had just, he paddled out at the wrong moment and they're going to get cleaned up. The current was bad. You're not even going to fucking make it out to where you can catch any waves. You got to wait for the lull, bro. You know? And like right there, I kind of like was like, oh yeah, no, like it's a, you know, pigeon way of saying, oh, you're fucking right. Yeah. Just kind of all started coming back. And sure enough, my guys, we didn't even dunk. You know, we didn't even have to duck dive. We just fucking waited for it and just boop. And then it just started coming back like, no, here's where you take off. No, you need this kind of paddle to get in. You know, rah, 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 rah. And then I started getting up on the board and I was like, oh, yeah. Then one of the guys, I don't know if he listens to this. This would be Cab if he listens to this. But one of the Groms who was working, he must have been like 17, Grom who was working at Learn to Surf LA is where I was working. His name was Oscar. He fucking picked me out, brah. Like Kauai Classic days. He saw, wait, what's your last name? And he's like, he's from Maui. And I'm like, Chris Tenberg. He's all, brah, you're fucking kidding me, dude. Kauai Classic. And I hadn't heard that for years. So I'm like, are you serious, bro? And like, he's like, nah, I had your poster on my wall, dude. And he was so fun. But like, I was like, it was pretty funny that like the water and like Oscar and like the surf lessons, like I just fell in love with the ocean again. And it didn't take no time either.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, I fell right back in.
Fell right back in.
I see all the pictures of you that I have in all the mags you can have.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right.
Hilarious.
We got to go meet up with BP.
Dude, Brian Press. I love that guy. Very intimidating force when I was on tour. Very much a California presence. Someone I didn't look forward to coming up against in the heat. If for no other reason is the fact that he wasn't as easygoing as Manny here. That may have been your competitive downfall if you had anyone.
Yeah.
You're just too nice, dude.
Yeah.
You're a fucking nice guy.
Jordan Hetrick got me at Trestles.
Same thing?
Yep.
It's a property that I would say is more valuable than being competitive. And you definitely, your skill was always there. You're always too fucking nice, dude.
I hated that. But when I freaking showed up, like if somebody pissed me off.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. I hear that.
And Kyle Malegro pissed me off.
Yeah, his anger was taken out in his hair.
My legs, yeah.
He got me. What did you say, bastard?
You said your anger was taken out in your hair color.
Oh, that's freaking probably the best example.
Yeah. You and Wonton had some rage that I think you could bring when you wanted to.
Dude, Chris Wan showed up to the freaking Japanese after party of the contest.
And?
Fuck. He wrapped himself in freaking saran wrap.
Nice. Boto showing and everything.
All the way up to, no, he had underwear, but nothing else. And he only made freaking a slit for an eye here and a slit for an eye here and then just a circle mouth. And he was walking around like that at the party.
What a wild cat, yeah.
It was freaking amazing.
What a wild cat that guy is.
All right, sorry, I had to end with that.
Yeah, no, great. We could do this for hours. And we will, right? Because you guys are going to come to Kauai.
That's right. If we go back to Kauai, we'll do another one over there. All right, you guys, come say hi.
What a pleasure, you guys.
GG.
Come say hi in the camera before we go later.
This is also JG. This is Jessica.
Say hi, JG. Everybody. We got two JGs in here.
There you go.
What up?
Later, you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for hanging out. And yeah, we had an amazing time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Manny. Thank you, JG.
Thank you for
the
aloha.
Oh, much aloha.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
How cute.
Oh,
cute, right? Aren't these guys great?
Dude, thanks, I love you, brother. For real.
That's
good stuff.
Okay.
I haven't talked bodyboarding in a long time.
3, 2.
Okay.
I forgot to do it in the beginning.
Yeah. Why don't you just, can I just get you one of those little things?
So now I can, you know, I don't even have to. You're going to.